Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Republic Roundtable, Week 40. This is April the 12th, 2012. My wife is a Montessori teacher, and she marches the kids around the classroom to that song. So that was from St. John's Children's Choir.
Robert, this is Janine. I actually have to make an apology to everyone.
Why? What'd you do?
Because this is not April 12th, this is April 19th, and this is week 41.
Oh, all right. So thank you for catching me and being so gullible just to read what I have on the sheet here without thinking it through. All right, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to Republic Roundtable. This is week 41, April 19th, 2012. My name is Robert Zuluaga, and Janine Stewart is our producer, and we've just made a mistake. But we haven't made a mistake talking about the kids and the facts that the next generation is who we have to bring up in the spirit of freedom. And St. John's Lutheran Choir, I think it was that particular track. And my wife gave it to me. She uses that with the kids, and they just love to march. You know, they'll be all out of distracted and out of rhythm. And so she'll get them there, and she'll get them marching and clapping their hands. And she tells them the one who marches the best gets to lead. So they all, of course, want to march the best so that they can lead the other ones marching around the room. So this week we are doing a showcasing a state. It's been a while since we've showcased a state. And I don't know, which is the show me state? Is that Janine?
Well, that's Missouri, and that's who's with us. But,
I thought
you
so.
Know, it's in my conversations I've had with Patricia, she is a go-getter, and so she's a show you state instead of a show me state.
All right, so we're having a show you state from Missouri. It's Patricia Walther, And she's got some exciting stuff that you'll see if you got the little intro here. She's got a Missouri implementation strategy, which you can either copy or you can use it to stimulate your own thinking in your state and get your own ideas flowing from there. So that'll be our kickoff there. We have President Turner will be joining us a little later in the call. And as I promised the week before last, I have 6 weeks of questions, which although I didn't categorize them, I do have them in the inbox. And the president will address some of those as well as your live questions tonight. And I just want to thank Jim Fitzgerald for taking over last week. What an awesome, awesome call that was. It was just awesome to hear all the doctors come on board, such liveliness in the area of health. Boy, it's just an honor. It's just an honor to serve alongside you all who have such a high caliber and such a true arrow in terms of what's needed to right our country. So it was just very inspiring for me to hear it after the fact. I had a wonderful time away in retreat with the Tres Dias, something called Tres Dias, and I just find it's very powerful. It was a wonderful opportunity to mentor men to have a deeper relationship with their Creator. So it's a leadership program to help men be stronger leaders in their community. So this evening I have asked Bruce Dietler to open us up in a word of prayer. And if you're on the line, Bruce, I ask you to unmute yourself and welcome to the call and lead us in a word of prayer. And Jeanette, I don't think he came in on the... on the host code. So,
I am not seeing him either, so let me go look for him. Normally his number pops up really quickly for me. I do see him.
All right.
Welcome, Bruce.
I've been here all along.
We know you are.
Constant as a stream. Very nice.
Oh, good God. Well, thank you very much, Robert, for the opportunity again to speak and to pray. You were mentioning the intro song that was played there with the children singing and the generation. And when we visited earlier, the scripture that came to mind was about the generations. And we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the Lord gave me three different words to focus on here. And the first one is selection. We have been chosen, selected, called out, the ecclesia, for his purpose. Not our own purpose, but for his. To walk not in darkness, not in deception, not in the flesh, not in wickedness, but in the light of God and into that light, continuing to move forward into that light. We may be chosen, we may be selected, but we can choose not to go that way as well. So there will be a sifting of the saved. There will be those who will choose to go on with God and choose to follow his way. There will be others who may choose to follow the flesh or man's way or the deception of the evil one. And I would pray that those who would desire to see God glorified in this republic would choose to follow his way. The second word is direction. We are to follow the Spirit of God, not the heart of man. We are to walk in truth and in discernment, which is largely lacking in the body of Christ in many regards. We are to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in our God. The third word is protection, and our prayer is that the Lord would protect that which he has created, that which he has established in this republic, that he is restoring through the efforts of many, many people across the land, that he would protect the leadership in the general republic, in the free states as well, those who are presently in office, those who are being raised up for his honor and his glory. So with those thoughts and with those words, selection, direction, and protection, agree with me in prayer if you will, please. Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in and through our lives, in and through this republic, and in and through this call this evening. Father God, have your way in the free states, Lord God. You are raising up examples of greatness, Father God, that we might have truth and light to follow after, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that Pat Walther and Larry have done in Missouri and all that's going to be revealed this evening, Father. Help us to take that which can be applied individually to our free states and run with it, Father God, to make this truly great in you. We pray, Lord, that you would glorify yourself in the midst of your people, that you would show yourself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are fully yielded unto you. Glorify yourself in and through this republic, in and through our lives, in this call this night, and we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
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 Beautiful. Amen. Good word. Good word. Thank you, brother. Well, Patricia, long time no chat. It's exciting to see what you have put together. You have, for those of you who received the email, you should have received an attachment, and it will be in a zip file that says, when you open it up, Missouri Implementation Strategy. So, Patricia, good evening. Welcome to the call. And you're serving in a capacity both as the state treasurer and the state administrator for Missouri.
Yes, tell us
what you've been up to.
Thank you, Janine and Robert, for having me on here this evening. I'm humbled and very excited to just go over some of these things that we've done and are still trying to do. And I'm sure this will change three or four times before it's actually done. But the document is kind of lengthy, but I'm going to try and buzz through it as fast as I can to give you just an idea of what it's all about. And I think that with the help of Tim Turner sparking, you know, my brain as a database administrator, that's where it all began. I was sitting here with my husband, Larry, who is the governor of Missouri, and listening to a call where President Turner said that if our state didn't have a database to take on the influx of people, that we better get prepared. And as a database administrator, we definitely didn't have we didn't have the means by which to take on those people, and we actually, but we're working on that.
Before you start, I just want to say there is no need to buzz, because we want to get a good understanding of what you have. So I don't want you to feel rushed. I want you to give it a thorough going over, so we don't have folks wondering, what was that she said? So talk to a bunch of sixth graders, if you would.
Okay.
And for those of you who are more advanced than I am, my apologies. But it's a safe place for me to start, seeing I haven't reviewed it, and I don't know what you've been up to.
Okay, well, great. Well, first of all, you know, I did put a disclaimer in here stating that this is totally, you know, just one state administrator's idea of trying to reach out to all of the states somehow, some way, as just an administrative type of person to say, hey, you know, if you need any help, I'm here to help you in any way that I can. Because I believe that one of my God-given gifts is of administration, and I'm pretty much, if I'm not working 40, 50 hours a week on this stuff, I'm just not happy, and it's just the kind of person that I am. So if you go to the plan on page 4 for the influx of new members, as I said, Tim Turner had said that we needed to have a database, and so that sparked in my mind just how could we go about receiving the masses if tomorrow, for whatever reason, it hit the media about who we are and what we're doing. And so, I talked to Jeff Smith, who is a computer guy, and I said, you know, we need a database, and we, you know, what do we need to do that? And, of course, we need money, like everybody needs, because we're going to need someone to create software and someone to have servers created and implemented And, you know, if we do everything that we're talking about doing here in this plan, everybody's going to need to be linked together so that everybody can see the information. So what Tim Turner also said was that a long time ago, he said, you know, it'd be a really good idea if you divided your state into regions, say 10 regions. And that, again, in my mind, I thought, wow, that would be great. So I originally created a map, and on the sideline, you know, Larry was talking to some people about a ranger program for Missouri, and he stumbled on a gentleman that was a sheriff, I believe. He has a huge background in law enforcement, and he took it upon himself to just, for no one asked him to do it, he just created this massive ranger program and divided our state into 9 regions by population. So I took my map and threw it in the trash, and I thought, wow, this guy just totally, and of course I believe it's God, he's working for the good here. He just totally created these 9 maps, and I took them and inserted them into this document. And again, they're by population across the state. And we decided instead of 10 regions to go with 9, and that would keep our budget down as well, because when I divided the state up, I had it into 14 12 different areas, and that was just too much because it was over our budget. So anyway, in talking with Nation and Janine, and talking to her about does Nation have an idea of how they're going to, you know, work the database for, you know, people coming into Nation's website, and how are they going to be directed to the states, and how that's currently being handled, and so on and so forth. And she asked, you know, did I want to be a part of, you know, helping maybe a committee work on some ideas for Nation's strategy for database and whatnot? And I said yes. So the whole thing just kind of tumbled into what you see here. I thought it was a good idea that we created within these 9 regions an office, in order for people to come into an office and sign up. Well, now you have the whole, you know, immigration education area, where it is now being determined just how a person will indeed sign up in the future. All of that is still not being totally decided, but I thought you still need to take on the masses and the large influx of people, and how do we want to do that without a red thumbprint? So it was decided that we would just create some sort of a letter of intent on the internet. The form would be filled out by an individual saying, yes, I want more information, or I have an intent to join, and they'd fill out their name and address and whatnot. And then all of a sudden it turned into, okay, well, right now I'm the one receiving all of that. Will I be able to handle the masses? And, well, the answer is no. But when we get funding, we've budgeted, and I'll get into that in a little bit here, we've budgeted to after we got our 90-day infusion of money, we will start to create 6 of those offices, and we've called them Member Service Representative Offices, so MSR for a better term. And in talking about the budget, it was determined that maybe we could utilize these offices for other things, such as our associate justice courts and our town hall meetings, and maybe have a ranger office in there, and do the immigration education and training, and show videos and administer the testing out of these offices. And so to have 9 of these offices within the first year would be fabulous, because then they would not be part of the executive or legislative offices. They would be taking in the masses of people to get people signed up, they could initially sign up on the internet and print out an intent, letter of intent, which when they bring that into an MSR office at that point, then we would know that they've already put their information into the database online. If they walk in and say, no, I've never done that, then we will have five assistants there along with an MSR manager and the immigration and education trainer there to process the people coming in and to get their intent documentation completed, then move them into the education of understanding what self-governance is, watch certain videos, administer the testing, get the red thumbprint, and move into that area. And then at that point, find out if they have if they would like to work for the Republic and find out what their skill set is and move them into, moving them into the Republic. So that's kind of the whole idea there on the influx document. Then another thing that I thought of during that first 3 months ago when I started all this was, as soon as Tim Turner said, we need a database, the first thing I thought of was, wow, let me find some maps of all the states. Because I was initially thinking, how would everyone get to the states if there's no connection from nation to the states, okay? So I thought, well, maybe there would be a nation map on nation's website where a person would come to the nation website, they'd see their state, they'd hover their hand over the state, click on their state, and that would take them to the individual state's website, and then at that point they could be integrated into that state. So taking that a step further, I found maps and HTML coding for all 50 states, and then I took those, and then I found another website where it listed all of the counties within the state, and I created an Excel document for all 50 states for all of their counties and a document with every state map showing all of the counties, and it also included all the HTML coding so that each state could then just take that map and that Excel document and give it to their IT person. Their IT person could then integrate that map into their website, create a hover selection over the county and or a drop-down menu of county, however they wanted to do it, and the map coding and everything would be done for all the states, and I already did that for all the states. So just to let everybody know, I have 50 maps, 50 HTML codes, and 50 county documents for all the states. So I've done
that,
all right?
You are incredibly organized. I have participated in a call to talk about this at a national level, and I'm not sure, I think Larry was on it as well, but this is exciting. You have just moved this ball forward beautifully. This is very, very exciting, very exciting.
Thank you.
Keep going.
So I'm just excited because I feel like,
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of states that are just first starting out. Some states only have 10 people. Some states, have been around since the get-go, and they've lost some people, they've gained some people, they've lost some documents, they need to redo their documents, they don't know where to start. And, I've just been this person that was handed everything in a box October of 2010, and I've just taken it and fixed it all and did everything I could to bring it to where we needed to be. So, all right. So.
Well, that sounds like a real good place. It sounds like a real good place to put in a plug for how folks in other states can contact you. So if you don't have a pen and paper out there, it's probably a good time to get one, because this lady is going to be a key link for your state if you want to duplicate some of her efforts in your state.
And just to let you know, my information is on the introduction page, which is page 3 of the document. It gives you my Skype name, my phone number, and my email address on the introduction to this whole document. It's on page 3. But I'll give you my email. It's info@missourirepublic.gmail.com.
Excellent.
Okay, so page 789 is the Ranger map that the Director of Public Safety here created. So you can look those little maps over. He did a great job putting those together. And he put the entire Ranger program together down to the last penny. It's an amazing, amazing budget. On page 10, you see a sample letter to the House regarding a startup budget and appropriations bill. And then on page 11, you see a sample startup budget and appropriation bill, just a boilerplate. You can insert your state in there. You can change it. You can use it, don't use it, whatever. But we decided we were going to stay with the same format as Nation in utilizing the four categories of fixed assets, other non-fixed assets, operations, and labor and compensation. And, of course, we had a vote on that in Congress, and we have minutes. You always need to have your certified minutes attached to your appropriation bill, of course. Then if you go to page 12, I have some codes that I have used on the 90-day appropriation bill, and the one thing I did notice is I forgot to put the column and row numbers and alphabet on the budget when I attached it, so forgive me because it says column G and row 87 and 88, so I'll just show you where those are, okay? But what we did on our budget was if you look at the 90-day appropriation bill budget, the next page, starts on the next page, you'll see white blank lines, rows, and that's because there are positions normally in those rows, but we didn't include them in the 90-day appropriation budget, so they're not listed there. The codes on the far right column on the budget, that you'll see E's and S's. What we did was we counted the number of executive offices, furniture, and secretarial furniture that we would need for those areas of positions. And then later on when we get down in the budget, I'll show you where those E's and S's come into play, which is actually row 87 and 88, but it's not, I don't have those numbers on there. And then the color coding on the budget is exactly on this code. It shows, you know, the peach is for fixed assets, the purple is other non-fixed assets, the yellow is operations, and the green is human resources. So as you go to the sample budget on page 13 and just scroll through these pages, 13, 14, 15, and whatnot, you'll see E's and S's in the far right-hand column for codes. Okay, and you scroll. I took out the income numbers on most of all the columns. But I left some of them in on the descriptions, but that's okay. Okay, so then it starts here, you know, you'll start seeing other codes like HR and O and FA. Those are your codes for your operations. So anything green is HR for human resources. O is operations in the yellow. FA is fixed assets. Now, if you look at under office furniture, which is just under the yellow shaded area, in the pink area, you have executive 47 and then secretarial cubicles 46. Those are the E's and the S's that we added for positions for the first 90 days. And, you know, these amounts are probably a little high, but they're you know, if we don't spend it, we don't spend it. And, but, you know, the executive offices, and then that way we could count in the first 90 days if we actually filled all 47 executive offices, furniture, that's how we counted those, the furniture for that. In the yellow area, we have the executive building, the state legislative building, the Southwest State Building, the Southeast State Building. So these are all offices that will house, and I'll go into that a little bit further when we get down a little further down here. six MSR offices and a bank building in the Southwest area. And we chose the Southwest area because of, you know, us being on the New Madrid Fault. We want to make sure we don't have our treasury and our record keeping on the New Madrid Fault. So we're going to be moving out west. Okay, so we scroll down.
Patricia, before you scroll down,
yes,
on this, those of us who are following your concept, you have nine regions, and then I'm not understanding how you've got your offices allocated here. It doesn't match the nine, and it looks like it's more than. So just explain that a little bit, if you would.
We're only budgeting for six MSR offices in the first 90 days, not all
okay.
nine.
Not nine, okay. And then the four
and the
you've got
ones
up
are
the top?
I'm sorry?
The Southeast, Southwest, State Legislative, and Executive buildings.
Those are not MSR buildings. Those are executive and legislative and judicial buildings.
Very good. And you're also going to house your Rangers in those buildings as well, or no?
Yes.
You are. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Thanks for clarifying that.
No problem. And the bank building, pink there, it's pink because we hope to purchase that building. That's why it's a FA and not an O, because all of the O buildings we plan on renting space, which is an operations cost instead of a fixed asset. Okay, so then we just scroll down until you get to page 18, and we've taken all of the figures for each color and put those in, and then they've been totaled, and then those will be the calculations that you put on your budget and appropriation bill for Congress to vote on, your state Congress. Okay, so and then, and I hope I'm not moving on too quickly here, but and then we needed a
treasury
bill.
So this is going to appropriate, just before you go on past this is going to appropriate what has already been sent to Congress for approval in the...
That's correct.
Right. So you're just plugging in numbers here and a nice structure that any state could take and replicate with their model and put in the appropriate numbers that they've been allocated for their state. Is that correct?
Right. That's right. Because the comptroller, you know, the Congress has to appropriate, and then the comptroller will make sure that he has these figures and make sure that the treasurer then does what Congress says to do.
Very good.
So then we had to have a treasury bill, and in Missouri, we re-inhabited the 1820 Missouri Constitution, so that we made this very simple, and we re-inhabited our state's constitution treasury. So we were, I guess, blessed, because we're in Missouri and we can do that. A lot of the older states, you know, they may have some other ways in which they need to do that, but this is how we've done it. And of course, that was voted on and by the House, and we have certified minutes to be attached to that. Okay, and then we get into the exciting part, the Treasury part. On page 20, what I've done, you can use QuickBooks or I love Peachtree, so I'm going to plug Peachtree. Peachtree would love me for doing that. I went into Peachtree Accounting, and the comptroller and I created our general ledger for all of the buildings except for judicial. I haven't done the judicial branch yet, but it would all be exactly the same. You just need to make them all J's. I've created large numbers, and, you know, maybe it's overkill for a 13-digit code. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I didn't know, with a government being as huge as it is, how many numbers you actually would need in the future. So I certainly didn't want to create a number that was only five digits, and 5 years from now the numbering system doesn't apply because it's too huge. So that's why I was thinking big. The first set of numbers, you have an E with four digits, and then an L with four digits, and then a J with four digits. That first segment is your branch location. So the E is executive, the L is legislative, and the J is judicial, obviously. The next five-digit code is your general ledger account code, depending on what that is, and we'll go over that in a minute. And your last three digits is your employee number or your building locator number, and we'll go into that in just a second. So as you scroll down, you've got we have
Patricia, if I could just interrupt you. Did you define that somewhere? I don't see it in a index or a coding anywhere, how you've broken out those 13 digits. Is it somewhere written in the document?
On page 20, the E, you see the E and then the pound signs. Says equals branch location plus GL code plus employee number or building locator number. So, yeah.
Very good. I see it. Thanks.
Okay. So then you've got the E, all of the E's that I created, the E's and the L's, and, of course, I have to do the J's. I haven't done it yet. So the E0000 is anything to do with the executive branch general account. And we can skip, if you would like, real quick over to page 21, because on page 21, the E0000 accounts, which are the executive branch for general banking codes, is there. You've got your regular checking account, a payroll checking account, and understand that whenever you have an accounting program, it automatically creates, based on whatever type of business you tell it, it automatically creates a number of general ledger codes, whether you use them or you don't use them, they're there. And the comptroller and I went through and we said, well, are we really going to need a trust account? Are we really going to need a money market savings account? And it's like, well, I don't know. Let's just create it. So whether you need it or you don't need it, they're there. You can use them, don't use them. You can change the name. Whatever we end up as a government needing in the future, they're there. And, of course, you can always add some. If you see, you know, you've got a number of numbers that aren't utilized in the GL code, for instance, 10200, the next one is 300, the next one is 10500. Okay, so you can stick one in there, 10400, if you want to. But the general banking codes for the executive branch, because the executive branch is the treasury, they're going to be the ones just paying the bills and doing whatever. So these are just general executive branch codes that we created. Okay, so now you go back up to page 20, and you'll see that we created a code for each building, which utilizes in the budget. You saw where I had a Southwest Missouri building, I had a St. Louis, I had a Southeast building and a Southwest building and so on and so forth. This is where we thought that we would establish some of the offices. And we numbered them with E2000 and L2000. In other words, if we're going to put some legislative offices within those offices, which we will be, they will have E's and L's associated with the building. And then the member service representative offices, we've coded them REG 1 through 9. Okay, so that would be Region 1, Region 2, and so on and so forth. So as you scroll through these, you go to page 22, you'll see the first office, E1000, Governor, Treasury, Records Office with a vault. So that's going to be the executive office with the governor and the records office. And the zeros, if you look at the very first one, it says Petty Cash Governor, Every office is going to need petty cash. I've never worked in an office where you didn't need petty cash for something. So those are obviously created like bank accounts, and they have to be balanced on a regular basis. And for instance, let's say the governor has the first one, so he's 001. All right, so now his secretary has that petty cash, and he or she is in charge of that. And the code for cutting checks for the governor's secretary's petty cash would be E1000 10000-001. Now let's say there's another employee within that office that it's determined needs petty cash, okay? So the treasurer would go in and create an account code called E1000-10000-002 and name that person's petty cash account, whoever 002 is. And the same thing goes with any of these accounts. An auto expense, if the lieutenant governor fits in here for whatever reason, 001 might be the governor, 002 might be the lieutenant governor, and so on and so forth. And then you scroll down a little bit, you've got the Southwest Missouri Comptroller's Office. So now you've got the Comptroller's Executive Office here, and this is the Comptroller's petty cash number, and it's the E2000 building. And if you just scroll through these, you'll see, you know, it's the same thing. We just, you know, as we actually have people in these positions and actually can work this, it'll all start to make sense.
This is wonderful. This is amazing. I'm just reflecting as you're sharing this. I'm thinking, I'm following along carefully on my computer and seeing this, and it's all the light bulbs are going on. This is absolutely wonderful. If you are listening to this call and you are just listening to it, I just invite you to absorb it, because when you see this laid out, boy, it's a cookie cutter. It's delightful. It's delightful, and
you
could gear this up or gear this down to meet your needs. Just great, great, Patricia.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so now let's go to the L1000, which is page 24. And let's say, you know, in Missouri they say we're supposed to have like one senator per county or something, not to exceed 100. That's what the current 1820 Constitution says. So, let's just say that the very, very first legislator, he's going to be 001. And from now on, the Missouri 001 belongs to, that's going to be his employee code, 001. All right, so anytime I see L1000, 10000-001, that belongs to Joe Schmo, okay? So, and so on and so forth. So you can assign, so let's say, furniture and fixtures, you know, you bought 001, which is legislator 001. You bought him his office furniture, him or her, their office furniture. 001, that's what it cost you for 001. So anytime there's an expense for 001 in this legislative office, that belongs to Joe Schmo.
See, redneck.
Or Jeannie Schmo, whatever you want.
I don't know if she'd confess to being a redneck, though.
it just goes on down, and, you know, you do the same thing for the J's, for the judicial branch. You're going to go in here, you're going to create the J's, depending on what office you have them in or wherever you assign them. And then you have the regions. The regions start on page 25, and all of the regions are the same. They're all exactly the same account codes. They're just set up for region 1 through region 9, and I color-coded them. So let's see here. Then if you go to page 29, this is where I mentioned earlier that any accounting software creates codes. And as we all know, it creates tax codes, payroll taxes, fixed assets, accumulated depreciation, all of those sorts of general ledger codes that I'm praying we never need. So I didn't didn't include them in on the codes for the offices because, you know, we shouldn't have to depreciate anything unless I guess we want to. When we purchase the building, You could for planning purposes, exactly. It's all in what you choose to do. And let's see. Okay, so you've got all your tax codes here, you know, your federal payroll taxes, your FUTA, your SUTA, all the standard, you know, codes here that we're not hopefully going to need or use. And then
all fully refundable, right?
That's right.
All fully refundable.
And then, of course, on the last page, I had some real questions, you know, and I had asked Janine this question, and of course, it's a Congress answer. And my I had one of our congressmen ask me about what do I do about hiring my secretary? And I said, well, they're all Nation employees. Therefore, Nation is going to have to figure out how they're going to process secretaries and receptionists and get everybody hired. And, you know, we took some of the Nation documents, like the web authorization document and the congressional election document and that we're actually reworking the non-disclosure agreement for our state, the errors and omissions documents for our state. So those are just kind of some of the documents that we altered to fit for state reps and senators that are going to be coming in at some point and anybody else, for that matter, that gets hired. So I have no clue what to tell Nation because I'm a state treasurer and as a database administrator and state administrator, I have processed both Nation and state sort of functions here. But I have no idea when we do get funded and all the guys and girls end up at Nation level, how that's going to all work on the Nation end, because I would think there's going to need to be someone at the Nation level to do the human resources and the treasury I don't know how their employees will be paid or how time cards will be processed at the Nation level or any of that. So it kind of shifts. And all that's kind of still up in the air, and we have no idea where that's going. So I didn't know how to tell one of my congressmen how to hire a secretary because I have no clue what y'all want to do, and because he's going to be a Nation employee when the shift occurs. So I think I'm finished.
What I wanted to do was to open it up. I saw Speaker Lounsbury on the call, but Janine, I think I see him fall off. I wanted to open it up to some of our legislators from Congress to be able to give some input because there are some committees who are involved. What I'm going to do is ask you to put it into question and answer mode, Janine.
Okay.
And the question and answers that will just be on this topic. So if you've got other issues that you want to ask questions about, let's hold on those right now. I just want to do it on this topic here. And if any of you are on the call who are in some of the subcommittees in Congress and you want to weigh in, you're more than welcome to do that too.
And Robert, I've been asked by Senator Debbie Ringchop just to say that as far as the codes for the accounts that I think that they're hoping to have some kind of now the word's escaping me, but consistent throughout the states if they can, and I think that they're going to be talking about that in the banking and budget committees, and so I'm supposed to put that word out there, and I have now, and we'll go from there.
Well, let's put in a further qualifier. This is really a show me a state. And this is an opportunity to really get the creative juices going for each other to get a vision for what's possible here. This is clearly not set in stone. but it's a wonderful offering, absolutely wonderful offering that you've got here, Patricia. So with that, Janine, if you want to take the first person in the queue.
Sure. Our first caller is Anonymous. Go ahead, Anonymous.
You might be muted. If you can unmute yourself, Anonymous.
Okay, thanks. You're right, I was.
We can hear you.
Welcome. Who's Anonymous?
Okay, my name is Larry. I'm the Treasurer Controller for the state of Free State of Maryland. And I thought I heard you say at the beginning of the call tonight that you had sent these documents out. I don't have it. Could you see that I get it?
Well, Larry,
I absolutely will.
Yeah. Did you get an advisement of the call tonight?
I had one for the Monday night. I don't get them for the Thursday night for some reason.
Well, if you're comfortable giving your email to Janine over this call, we can handle it right now.
If you're the comptroller, I already have it. If you're getting if you're getting them for the Monday night calls, that means I send them directly. And if you're not getting them for the Thursday night call, please talk to your state administrators and find out why not.
So why don't you take this
opportunity? I don't think we have a state administrator.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, whoever it is in your state that sends updates and emails.
Well, as far as I know, I'm supposed to do it.
Okay. Well.
Larry, would you please give us your email address?
Sure. It's larry@itsg.net.
ITSG. Yeah. India Tango Sierra Golf .net.
Internet Technology Solutions Group.
Oh, okay.
I like that better, Janine. Very good. So, Larry, Janine, you want to just send it to him now?
I will send it to him in just a moment here. Yep, I absolutely do that.
Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else that would like to ask a question regarding this wonderful platform and strategy that Pat's put together, please press *6 to get into the queue, and then you'll probably need to press 1 to confirm that.
And Mark Gardner, if you are in the line, you are also welcome to join into that queue and make some comments about what you're developing. All right, CJ Pereira, good evening.
Oops, I am sorry. I clicked one too many times. CJ, I apologize to you. If you will come back into the queue, we'll take you immediately. And if you don't, there you are. There we go.
This
I apologize.
From Oklahoma.
Hi, CJ.
When Patricia was given her name and her email address, my pen ran out of ink. Could I have that again, please, ma'am?
Yes, it's info, I-N-F-O, period, Missouri Republic, and that's spelled out Missouri, at gmail.com.
Thank you very much. And what's her last name, Patricia?
Walther, W-A-L-T-H-E-R.
Thank you very much.
And CJ, what state did you say? You're Oklahoma, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And are you the comptroller for Oklahoma?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I want to make sure he gets it.
Very good.
All
awesome.
Right.
Thank you, sir. Uh-huh. Dan Owens, the governor out of Indiana.
Good morning.
All right. Woman governor out of Indiana. Hi.
Let me grab this. Dan Owens is a man. You were right the first time, Robert.
We'll know in a minute.
Good evening. Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome.
We're
just a little disoriented today. You have to bear with us.
I'm guessing sleep's been just a little bit short.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. This is a tremendous effort here that she's put together. I did have one question. She mentioned the secretaries would be by national. And I wanted to clarify that. I'm assuming that she's talking about the secretaries for the legislative body.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And that is, those salaries will be paid by National.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm sure we'll be in contact with you over the next week or two here.
Great.
We don't have a treasurer or comptroller and at this point, but we're working on it.
You know, that you bring up, Governor Owens, you bring up a great point that's come up here, not just in your state, but other states. We really need to have a body that defines what is it, what are the skill sets needed for a comptroller, what is it that we're looking for, so that we can, on a state-by-state basis, educate folks about what caliber of folks we're looking for, not just in title, but in function. And so, Pat, I know we have a number of states have tried to pull this together. Have you developed any resources in that regard? And is there anyone else who's listening to this call who has? I know our Secretary of State is desirous of doing that here in our state. I know that Donna Kozak's been doing that for up in Nebraska. And I just really like us to get some life into this whole issue of filling positions that we don't have and really understanding clearly before we get into it what's required in those positions. So comments in that regard.
Would you like me to give Robert Jackson a quick call, and he could call in on the host code, and he's our comptroller, and he can give you a little background of his background. I can give you my background as treasurer. You know, to me, if a comptroller isn't a CPA, they should have at least a background and a knowledge of, you know, operating, you know, budgets and financial statements and, you know, checks and balances and, you know, to oversee, you know, what I do. And then, of course, we're going to have bookkeepers, accounts payable and accounts receivable, because, you know, you should have different people taking money in or putting money out, shouldn't be doing the same thing. You know, there's standard accounting procedures I have a human resource background. I've done payroll. I have an office management background. I've done a lot. I put in my intro a little bit about what my background is. I think that the comptroller needs to be more advanced than the treasurer in the financial world, so that he or she can assess if the treasurer, you know, is doing his or her job and manage the books. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I would like to put it out there for all of us that if you have something written in terms of job functions, whether it's a treasurer or a comptroller or a state administrator or a secretary of state, I would really like us to pool our resources and to have that as a, perhaps we could create a Dropbox. Well, we started that when the ambassador program was, a Dropbox with each of those files in there so that we can benefit from each other's knowledge across the Republic to get organized in some of the support roles that are needed. And not just the support roles, but even the basic roles. I think that we have a lot of willingness and a lack of drilling down to some of the specifics of what's required for some of our job set functions. So I'm putting it out there. If there's folks who are interested in that, I would like to reactivate that Dropbox. And anyone interested in it, if you would put in the subject line to questions, put in job descriptions, and we'll just start sharing a Dropbox and putting those into it so we can move that forward.
And also, Robert, you know, all the states, I believe, I know Missouri does, you can get on your Secretary of State. There's an official manual I would assume that each state has in the de facto world put out by the Secretary of State's office. And many of them, and it's totally free, and it's a huge, ours is, it's a 4-inch thick book, hardbound book that they mail out for free for you to look at. It's an official manual of the state, and it gives all of the de facto positions and what the positions are and what they do in the de facto world. It's been very helpful for us to look at job descriptions and who reports to who and the things that that the positions, you know, what the positions are necessary for, so you can read on them and see which ones you want to continue on, find out, read and look at. I mean, I know there's another one too that one of our congressmen said it was an agriculture book. Is that the Green Book? There's an actual, there's another book too, I think, out there that Missouri puts out that it goes into great detail about what agriculture does and all of those departments, and you can read on them and actually look to see which items are constitutional, things that aren't constitutional, things that are in their budget that have nothing to do with what it is that the category is, and all that. So,
excellent. Well, this is a topic that's just kind of birthed out of your comments, Governor Owens. And did you want to make any final comments on that?
No, I just, we've been, you know, first we're a small group, but we're trying to be very selective. I know previously things had been where they were just throwing people into positions, and that did not work at all. So we're trying to be selective and make sure that people, and I would encourage anybody, make sure that, you know, if someone's going into a position that they have some training or some understanding, because you're going to overwhelm them if you don't.
Very good. Well, I just want to announce here that President Turner has joined us on the call. We have about another 4 questions on this topic in the queue, but I want to welcome you, President Turner, and feel free to join in on this if you have any comments before we give you the floor for your updates and answering general questions.
Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be on the call tonight. We've been on the call in Nebraska for the last hour and 45 minutes and helped try to solve some issues there, and they're doing great. And we, I think we've accomplished a lot on that call. So I'll be waiting on some questions. If anybody has any, I'll do my best to answer those. And I'll yield the floor.
Thank you, sir. So we're going to close the, don't close question answers, but I know where we're marking it here. So Mark Gardner will be the last of the question answers on this. And then I will open it up for general questions after that, after the president gives us an update on things on his heart. So Anonymous, you are next.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Galen. This is Galen from Washington State.
Hi, Galen.
Hi. I'm looking at this this whole thing here, and I'm trying to figure out how many square feet do you think we should have for the MSR buildings that you're talking about on this here.
We originally were thinking 2,500 square feet, but then as it started to grow, and we realized that we would probably want to hold our associate courts in those offices and the immigration education training videos and town hall meetings doubled. So we put it in the budget at about 5,000 square feet.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's enough even. It seems like it would be bigger.
Well, we don't know, you know. But, we have a lot of leeway in our budget numbers.
Okay.
The governor is thinking like 5,000 to 7,000 would be more, but it's going to depend too on the area.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this is the first 90 days, so.
It is the first 90 days.
Yeah.
And that's a good reason.
You're going to take that.
And Robert, that's a really good reason for everyone to really consider leasing or renting a building to start and not purchasing until we know what we're doing.
Exactly.
Right. And talking on that job description thing,
yeah,
for these different jobs, the 1791 Treasury Act describes all the different positions in there, what they're supposed to do. I just wanted to mention that.
1791 Treasury Act. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Maybe we can have Chuckers post that up on the on republicsg.info. So if you're listening, Chuckers, that would be a real good service there.
Uh-huh. And one more question?
Yes.
Is I was noticing on your PDF file here, it has the treasurer and treasurer secretary and the comptroller, you know, separate entities there.
Our comptroller will not be in the same office as our treasurer.
Uh-huh. In that Treasury Act, see, that's what I was thinking about doing, was adopting the 1791 Treasury Act for our state here. The comptroller and treasurer, and they have a register and an auditor and an assistant and a secretary of treasury, all in one, you know, department there, the Department of Treasury. I was wondering if it would be okay to go that route too, or should we keep them separate like that, like you're doing, or?
Galen, this is Janine, and I think what everyone sure needs to understand on this call is this is what Missouri is doing, and this is a guideline, and you can do what best suits Washington. So that's what you and your state legislature need to go back and review this then and make those decisions.
And drilling down on some of these questions, too, could certainly happen offline and perhaps even, Pat, are you available for you know, having those sort of discussions with folks?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why
okay.
I put my information on the introduction page.
And I believe, Pat, we also discussed at some point that we might have a conference call for treasurers and comptrollers. And that you'd be more than willing to go into greater detail with your chart of accounts and your strategy.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Galen, are you in the are you in your state executive branch?
I'm the representative.
A representative, okay. Very good. Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. One more question, is that okay? Just real quick.
Yeah, sure.
You said the secretaries for the legislature are paid by National. Would the, you know, the Ranger program is paid by National too. Would that include the buildings and, like, there's going to have to be a CENTCOM or something for them too, I would think. That would be paid by National too, anything related to Rangers?
You know, that really we need to defer to the Ranger committee. That's probably beyond the scope of this particular, but good questions, good questions.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Galen.
Larry would like to say something in that regard.
Sure.
Okay. Hi, Larry.
Hi, thanks. I don't want to butt in here, but...
But you're going to anyway, right?
Yes. You know, I'm hearing a little bit of confusion about the separation between what the state is doing and what the nation is doing. And I don't want there to be a confusion there. Pat brought up the thing that our guys in Missouri, and I think it's true of most of the states, have been wearing both hats. They've been doing state business and nation business, and soon the ones who have selected to stay with nation will convene with nation, and they'll be paid on the nation payroll, and all their staff will be hired and paid on their budget in the nation payroll budget. Now, Dan, you know, Pat is working on state stuff only right now, and they may have a Ranger program in the nation, which I know they're going to, and we will have Nation Rangers in Missouri because we're going to work together. But state also has a Ranger program in our state budget. Now we have offices budgeted. Some of those offices will be have some of those buildings will have offices that are literally leased are rented to nation guys, and their budget will pay for their office that will that very well could be in a state building, and vice versa. There's one guy in Missouri who's going to buy a building, and he's going to rent space to nation and state out of that building. So it can work a lot of different ways, but to be careful when you're talking about rangers and senators and representatives, there are going to be nation ones and there's going to be state ones. And the state will pay for state only, and the nation will pay for nation only. And you don't want to get that confused.
And I yield.
Pat's talking again here.
Sorry.
Thanks, Larry.
And how we pay nation or how nation pays us, that is going to all be determined, I would assume, by nation and the training that the treasurers and comptrollers will receive, so that we know exactly how we're going to commingle. None of that is, well, not commingled, but how they're going to overlap. They're going to overlap for sure.
It's symbiotic.
Yeah, I think this is a really good time. Larry, you speak something which about the clarifying confusion. I think something that we all need to start really thinking clearly about now, because in my sense of things, we are moving very close to the funding. We're moving close to the, we're live with this, is that it's time to look at who can replace your second hat. It's clearly time that we be each looking at having one hat and to be delegating the other hat, transferring that to someone else. Because when you start, the danger you have is commingling. And commingling of interests is really dangerous. Even with the best intentions, when we start trying to spread ourselves too thin, we can't help but trying to bring interest to both parties and then expediency mixing them together, and we get into strife. I actually work for a fiduciary, and we are always dealing with people's money and dealing with their interests. And we have to be so careful, even in our office practices, that we simply cannot be seen to be either having a single person managing one thing or handling something. We have to always have dual control, and there's checks and balances through every single thing we do. So I just put it out there, whatever you're doing in the Republic now, if you're doing it with two hats, if you're doing a national hat and a state hat, please look at making a choice in your own heart which one you want to do and start finding somebody else to replace you with the other hat. That's just unsolicited advice from your moderator this evening.
Robert, this is Janine. I'd like to make a clarification. Representative Galen Tibbetts just informed me it's the Treasury Act is 1789, not 1791. And he has sent it to me, and I'm going to send it to Governor Chuckers, and he'll post it on the site.
Awesome. Very good.
Awesome.
All right. Robert Jackson, you're next up on the line. Good evening, sir.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Robert Jackson, the controller for Missouri here, and one comment I'd like to make about Pat's presentation. She's done a fantastic job in putting this together, and it's very easy to follow. If you have any questions about the fixed assets and the non-fixed assets, those are up for discussion. Some accountant or something might ask, why did you make it a fixed asset or a non-fixed asset? Well, this is just a model to start off with. So, and the one thing that we're really waiting on is the banking committee to see what kind of legislation that they come forth with, and that'll affect our accounting here probably quite a bit as to how we operate. And as far as the treasurer and the comptroller being one and the same person, one of your people on the call here mentioned that. I think that should be a separation of duties. And if you get involved with any kind of auditors, we're not a small company where you might need someone to wear two hats. So we're going to be a very large organization here, so a very large government. So I think you might keep that in mind.
Very good. While we have you on the phone, Robert, would you please give us a sense of the scope of the function of comptroller? And maybe your background, just give folks a bit of a taste of what skill
set. My background? Yeah, I was going to go through these job descriptions here, then I'll do that here. Like
okay.
Executive secretary, and I just have my list here. I just made the last few days here that I need job descriptions for. And some of you people may already have these job descriptions, and this is just for the controller's position. That we already have a purchasing agent, and we have a very good job description for that. Executive secretary, controller, analyst, research, we have two people slated for that. Controller staff, and this would include people like bookkeepers, that type of thing. And then auditors that would actually audit the accounting. As far as my background, I have been in IT, information technology. I spent over 40 years in IT and mostly manufacturing, about 12 years in banking. Did a lot of accounting work, a lot of payroll work, a lot of manufacturing work. So worked for a lot of FDA work for a large company and for about the last 12 years before I retired. So that's kind of my background. I grew up in IT and from the very beginning up to kind of what it is now, and have done a lot of really interesting things in that area. So this has proven to be very, very interesting.
Excellent. So perhaps others, are you willing to give out your contact information to others who may want to contact you with regards comptrolling?
Oh, sure. My email address?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you the one that Pat has and the one that we're using for Republic. I have trouble receiving messages. It's actually a Yahoo address, but I'll give you the other one, the one I'm actually using. And that is jacks4498@aol.com.
Okay.
jacks4498@aol.com. Yeah, that's the one that Pat would have, and she said we correspond back and forth with that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
One last thing here. We mentioned about for the state of Missouri, the state of the SOS, they do not send out those job books anymore. They have them online. They said they quit publishing them and sending them out because I had asked for one, and the information is online, but you can go online and look it up. But they do not send the books out anymore. I think some of our people has the books, but they stopped sending those out.
If one of you could send that hyperlink to that address to Janine, then that could get sent over to Chuckers as well and get posted along with it on the SD info.
It is different for every state, though.
Understood, but people can have a look at that and then get familiar with where they'd find it in their own.
First, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I yield.
Thank you very much. Mark Gardner, good evening, sir.
Everybody, congratulations to Pat there on organizing those that data. What I'd like to do is ask, we have this project that we're working on, trying to get this all this MSR type stuff up and running, the membership services program, and Bernie Schock is trying to get prototype one, subphase one, up and running, so we can see how at least part of it works. And what I'd like to do is ask
Mark, can I interrupt you for a minute? Will you please let folks know who you are and what capacity and what the committee, et cetera, that you're working with so that they know where you're coming from?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a representative. I'm chairman of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, but the work that I'm talking about right now is kind of a pet project that I'm on trying to coordinate. I'm basically trying to get this coordinated. If it's possible to get the states involved, I'd like to put out a concept here. How about if we form a think tank so that we can get all the IT professionals in, all the database professionals in, all the treasury type auditor type people together, in a big group to discuss what's necessary to get all the database and, you know, all the information technology of the Republic together. What are we going to need for all these different pieces so that we aren't doing things that are redundant? And this is Bernie Schock's idea as far as the redundancy. Let's get the committees together so we're not, you know, duplicating things. And I agree with that. And I think that if we can form a think tank and get the IT people in so that we can get ideas from the states on this project, then we can get the best possible project. And the states have an input, a direct input. And for those states that don't have IT professionals or whatever, they can send in a representative to participate and listen, and we can add that expertise back to that state. I mean, we can possibly assign some people to help them. So what I'm thinking here is basically just consolidating all the knowledge out there into a central think tank committee that will eventually come up with recommendations that can be taken to the Congress. And obviously we want to also have the IT committee chairmen in the Senate, Mark Lounsbery and Dave Gagne, involved in this process, so that there's an integration of everything. And if we do that, the states will have an input straight into the Congress. We'll flow out the other side with some kind of solution to all of our issues. So that's my proposal. And what do you think, Robert? I mean, what can we do? Should we do that?
Why don't you put out your contact information, Mark? Anyone who's listening to the call who has interest in doing that, let's have them get in touch with you, and we'll move the ball along. I know we've been working on this now for a couple of months, and you've already got some traction there, which is great. So would you please give out your contact information?
Okay, sure. You can reach me at m.gardner@republicoftheunitedstates.org. m.gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, @republicoftheunitedstates.org. And like I said, I mean, you know, Pat's working on this integration thing that she's put out, which is very nice, very organized, and that's one piece of the puzzle. We have many other pieces that we need to fit together, and that's why I'm thinking that maybe if we get this into one consolidated organization, that we'll be much better off, because there's all these people all over the country that have different skill sets, but no one's connected in the communication. You know, so basically this think tank would allow communication. So anyhow, just an idea.
Very good. Thank you, sir. We're going to, well, firstly, I'd like to say, Janine, didn't you have a file there you wanted to play?
I do. This is
Pat,
for Pat.
We just want to thank you so much. That is from all of us to you. So
thank you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome to stay on the call if we have other questions in this regard. But we're ready to open the call now to the president to give us his opening comments, and then he is willingly offered to answer questions. And I believe that Chief Justice Nathan Peachey may also be with us this evening. So, Mr. President, good evening.
Thank you, Robert and Janine. Thank you for all the work that you do, and welcome to everyone that's on the call. I appreciate your time and the effort that you're putting into the Republic. We are making progress. We're moving forward. It seems like to me at light speed. Things are really getting interesting around the world and around the country. We are moving forward very quickly on some issues that we have. And next week we're going to have a major meeting with principals around the country, and we'll be winding up some very important documentation and be making some presentations very soon. And we will finally be able to get our Utah document out there in public here for everybody to see, that caused so much problems over the time. When you read it, you'll understand why we had to delay till things were ready. The time is now. We're ready to move forward with it.
and we'll be finalizing everything in the next week or so and getting it where it needs to be. So things are moving, and you're going to see some major changes. I will say that I've been watching some things. I did have an opportunity to listen to the interview, finally 3 hours of the David Wilcox and Drake interview that everybody was all upset over. And honestly, the first few minutes I didn't really like, and there was a lot of some misinformation in the first few minutes. But I decided to listen to the whole interview, and I will say this, that I believe the man Drake on there is very knowledgeable in a lot of things, and I agree with a lot of what he had to say. I really would love to meet the man. He's been told a lot of bogus information about me and the Republic, but I think the man has a lot of good information as well. He's misguided on some things, but overall, I think the man is pretty well on the level, and I had a great respect for him when I listened to the whole tape. He like I said, he had some comments that were not very favorable toward me and the Republic, but that's because he's been told things that are not true, and from a source that we all are very familiar with, and that's his position. There are some things I believe about to happen in our nation. I agree with him on that. I've been told that through many sources that there are lots of arrests going to be made in the United States very soon. I'm seeing it on the news, actually. They're starting to call names and throw blame, and just like they always do prior to an operation, and that's going on right now. I've not watched the news in probably 2 months, and I finally decided that I would watch it. And sure enough, I'm seeing a major change in the news since I watched it last. And there's something brewing, and I think it's going to be good. I will caution the people, if you see things happen, if you see people being arrested, if you see military in the streets, stay home and take care of your families. Don't get out and go crazy like some of these protesters are going to do. I ask the people of the Republic to stay peaceful, to take care of your families. I think that you should probably plan for some supply chain interruptions temporarily. I think that we could see that. We could see an emergency during this period of time. And I think that it would be wise to make some reasonable preparations for that for a few weeks. I think you should have extra food, water, flashlight, batteries, things like that, like you would prepare for a bad snowstorm or earthquake or what have you that we run into natural disasters all the time, different types of things. We used to keep all that stuff together down on the Gulf Coast because we had hurricanes, and it would probably be a good idea for our people to do that so that you don't have to get out during these times. You can stay home, and it won't last very long. It'll only last for probably a few weeks at the very most during that transition period if it happens like the people are telling us it's going to happen. There is going to be some change in our country, but the people of the Republic are going to be are going to be taken care of very well, and they're going to be just stay out of the problems, and you won't have any problems for the most part. But you do need to take care of your families, and that I do encourage people to be prepared to do that. Other than that, stay out of the streets. Don't get out there and start getting involved in the riots and things that some people might try to do, because there'll be some people that won't prepare. Stay home, mind your own business, and stay out of it, and you'll fare much, much better. And that's what I encourage people to do, that if this actually does come to pass. And I'm not saying that it's going to. I'm saying that I'm being told that it's going to by a number of sources around the world. And I do believe that things are going to change in our nation very soon. We desperately need to get the rest of our states in place as quickly as possible. We have 4 states that are so close that you could do it in just one meeting and just an hour or two, probably finish up everything you need to do and get it in. We're about to do some things, and we need to have as many states documented as possible. It will be much better. The more states we have, will be better. And so we need those. If you're close, and Janine, I don't know if you've got that list of the 4 states that are really close or not, but if you do, if you can let us know who they are so that they can get to work, and hopefully they'll come on and get it done for us. I talked to one of them today, and they said they will have this done in just a few days, and I encouraged the others to do. We need all 50, but we can. 42 is a good quorum. We have 38 now. We'll have 39 by the weekend probably, and we'll have the others shortly, I hope. And I hope that if you're one of those states that Janine identifies, that you will be able to come forward and help us get that done, because we need as many as we can to document, to do the thing, some of the things that we're about to do. We're moving forward quickly, and we need your help. I'm very excited about the meeting next week and the people that are coming in. We're going to talk to financial people. We're going to be talking to people in banking industry. We've invited people from all walks of life to come, IT people in different areas of law, and we're going to be bringing some things together that we've been trying to do for a year and a half, and we couldn't do them because we didn't have a lawful quorum, but now we do. We are the government of this nation, and we're the only lawful government of this nation, and that will be abundantly clear in a very short period of time. So I ask for your prayers. I need God's guidance. Our group needs God's guidance to do things the way he wants them done. I have prayed a lot about this time and this day, and that we've been prevented for some reason. I understand now why we've been prevented, because there were things in the world that had to be done prior to us being recognized, but that time is almost here, and I'm very excited about that, and I think that we're going to see some major, major changes in the very, very near future in our country. I was told there are more than 1,200 arrests being planned, pretty much going to take care of all the Congress and Wall Street. Also, the executive and judicial branches of the government are probably going to get hit pretty hard, too. But, guys, let's remember one thing. Let's pray for our nation. I want to call, not this coming week, but the next week, I'm probably going to call for a fast, if anybody would like to come together and do a nationwide solemn fast for 3 days for God to open some doors. And at that point in time, we will need God to move, and I believe that God is going to move. And we will be calling on a fast, and that'll be not this coming week, but the next week. And we will ask the people that can to fast as much as you can, but we're going to go a minimum of 3 days and fasting and prayer, asking God to move. And I encourage every one of you that can do that with us. We'll give the dates and on probably on our next Thursday night call. But anyway, we appreciate all your participation and all of your prayers, and we thank you for your participation in the Republic, and I'm looking for exciting times. And with that, I'll yield, and I'll be listening for any questions that you might have, and God bless all of you, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Mr. President. May 3rd, FYI, is National Day of Prayer. So that might coincide really nicely.
It might. It just might do that.
Okay. Very good. I did promise 2 weeks ago that we have over 6 weeks of questions in the inbox for questions. So I'm going to do them in the order of most recent and go our way back and go for a little while here. We have Nelson Scott in the queue. I'm going to let you start away with your question, and then I'll pull up some in the question and answer box. And if anyone has a general question that you would like to ask, press *6 on your phone, and then I think you press 1 to be put into the queue. So, good evening, Scott.
Scott, you check your phone, please. You're unmuted on our end.
Yes, hello. This is are you talking about Nelson Scott?
Yes, that's
sir.
You.
Yeah, I look like that guy. I sure do.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we don't know if it's first name first or second, and yours it's a guess of which one goes first.
That's okay. Maybe I should use Roman numerals, but I don't know how to spell it.
What's your question, sir?
Okay. is on that book you're speaking of on positions.
Yeah.
How do I go about ordering one?
Pat, are you still on the call?
I am.
Do you have
your secretary? I would think your Secretary of State of your current government.
Okay.
For de facto. I think most states probably have one. It's a manual. It's considered a state manual. And in that manual, it shows the executive, legislative, and judicial branch of all the positions and descriptions.
Okay.
I would want to contact your Secretary of State's office and inquire about it.
Okay, so that is the de facto Secretary of State. Is that correct?
Correct. And you can look at what that de facto position currently is, read your constitution that you're going to follow, and make sure that it coincides, and and usually it doesn't, but...
Okay, that makes sense. Now, am I understanding correctly that it's free?
Yes, ours are, in Missouri.
Oh, okay.
You could order the book for free. They would send it to you, or you could get it in PDF format on the Missouri website. They offered it either way. And a bunch of us ordered the books, and then we started meeting in committee with just individuals that were interested in getting a blue book and reading on it, and we only met a couple times. That kind of fizzled out, but...
Very good. So the other thing is we have... Chuckers is going... We've asked him to put the link to that book of Missouri, and I'm sure there's other ones in other states, but at least it'll give folks a contact point to start looking at some of this. And we've asked if Chuckers will put it up on republicsg.info. He has a very excellent, excellent site for resources. And so you can go there if you have not been there before. I strongly encourage you to poke around his site and see what's there. It's just our calls are put there. He's got just a huge amount of resources. So I'd refer you to there as well.
Okay, I'm assuming that they don't differ that much from state to state.
I would think not.
We pray not. Well, we'll find out. I look forward to investigating that and picking one up. And God bless everybody. President Turner, I'm so pleased that you are our leader. God bless you and yours, and I look forward to that 3-day fast. Thank you so much. I yield.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And pray that God will lead us in the right direction. He has so far, and I think he's going to finish the course very soon.
He is faithful to complete a work that he began. Mr. President, the first question in the queue is the following from David. He says, I'm from the Free State of Virginia. What is the time frame till we have our IDs? Reason I ask is that my 15-year-old son is just about eligible to get his learner's permit. He doesn't have a Social Security number, and I don't want to get him one. What do you advise to do? I heard a little about the alternative number system that may work, but I don't know the details. What is the minimum age that a person may join the Republic?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure what Congress has set. Probably whatever the legal age is in your state, probably, but I really don't know the answer to that question. The IDs, we're ready to make IDs. We're waiting on Congress to do the final details there. The Immigration Committee has been working on that plan. I understand they're almost done. I talked to somebody yesterday or today, I can't remember, about that in Congress, and they said that they were ready to bring this thing to a vote in the next few days. Probably going to have it done this weekend. So we hope that we'll get that done and we can get the IDs up and running. I would have liked to have done it a long time ago, but there were concerns about how to do it lawfully and not. We want to be careful not give IDs to the wrong people as well. We have some people out here that are crazies and they're literally dangerous, and we're not. We don't want to be aligned with those people, and so there had to be some checks and balances put in place. And that's what Congress has been doing, and they're wise and prudent to do that, because we don't want to get aligned with the wrong people. We were trying to stay peaceful, but unfortunately not everybody in America has a peaceful mindset. And so that's what's been going on in Congress, and I appreciate their due diligence in getting that done. And we'll be ready to move forward with IDs as soon as Congress gives us the go-ahead.
Very good. The next question is from Patrick. He says, how will the Republic fund the body of the country? Will it be taxes? Will it be a percentage of income? And how do we keep from getting into the same pickle we are already, whether we're in already?
Well, keep staying out of this pickle is real easy. You just be honest and you set checks and balances in place. In my opinion, if you catch a politician stealing from the people, I think he ought to be executed, and you'll probably not have too many problems with that if you do it. Take a very hard stand on that. Funding the nation is not really that difficult. Once we get started, and we're going to be meeting on that very thing next week about how to do some things. How to establish our treasuries, because that's been a holdup we've had. We'll be meeting with some congressional committee people, banking committee, and different ones next week about how to establish our lawful treasuries, in not only at the national, but help the states to do it as well. We hope that we can get the states on board with that as well, and set up a banking system, because that's how you handle money in a nation, is with the banking system. But we don't want a banking system that's tied to the Fed. The Fed's going down. We don't want to go with them. So we're going to set up a Basel III-based type system tied into the other nations where there's really substance-backed or commodities-backed banking and dollars. That way it'll do away with inflation and set prices right, and supply and demand will go back up and the people will prosper. And if it's done properly, finance will be easy. In the country, we're going to create so much of an economy with the plan that we have that money will be the least of our problem once we get it rolling. We'll be able to create as much as we need with assets in country. We've got a very good finance plan, and we're going to tweak that a little bit this week probably in some of the meetings that we're doing. So finance is secondary right now. The structure, we're not structured. If we had the finance in our hands right now, we couldn't use it because we don't have a structure in place yet to do that. So that's our number one priority right now, because I believe the finance is coming very soon. And I think that that we're actually, what's happened just in the last couple of weeks is people are realizing that the corporation is going down, and we're getting offers for finance from all over the place. I've had several just in the last few days, and we were exploring those things, but we're not committing yet. We don't know what we're going to do with them, but we are looking into some different things that might help establish our nation. There are people right here in the country that have assets that want to come in and bring it forward as well to help us get started. So God's opening the doors. He'll open the doors when the time is right. It's been very difficult to get some things done. The infighting we've had has really hurt us and hindered us a lot in getting funding. I don't blame the funders at all for kind of hesitating on that, because we're not ready. We're simply not ready. And we need to do certain things to get ready, and we still haven't done them all. And but we are making a lot of progress, and we are getting there, and we're almost there. But we have been held up a bit because of the infighting that's been going on, and because of the lack of making enough progress to do. I mean, like I say, we don't even have banks or a treasury system in place. If somebody gave us $1 billion tomorrow, we couldn't use it. So that's where we're at, folks, and that's what we're trying to do is get that accomplished.
So, Mr. President, you've asked for prayer, and I would like to direct our listeners' focus in that prayer to the whole issue of setting up the right structure in for our banking, for the finances, and just to pray very specifically that God draw together those who have the skill set, who have the integrity, who have the purity of intention and motive to come alongside us in that regard. So I'd like to ask those who are listening who are prayer warriors to specifically direct prayers in that direction, because, you know, making the right step and not having to clean up for either a hasty decision or, you know, picking the wrong caliber of folks in that regard can either bless us immensely and clear the way, or can hinder us and just be a bunch of stumbling blocks. Mr. President, before we go to the next question, I see that we have Chief Justice Nathan Peachey has come back onto the call, and I'd like to give you an opportunity, Nathan, of giving us an update of what's happening in the judiciary. And so welcome, sir.
Good evening, Robert and President, and all the other folks on this telephone call. I've been having spotty reception where I'm at. I'm traveling home right now. Some of you probably have been aware that the justices had been together here about a week ago, or maybe 10 days ago already, out in California. And we've been reviewing some things. We had a lot of work to do. We didn't get all of it done, but we did get a lot of it done. All of the justices attended, thankfully. We had a very, very good time, very educational time together, learning from each other. And we are now one step closer to finding out how and learning how to remove cases and how to become truly sovereigns, and to become, to walk as men and women, from the land, to structure our status that way, that it actually can be recognized and de facto that way too. Some very important key things came to light, how we need to do certain key things that we haven't been doing, that I can't wait to release to the nation, to the people in the Republic. But before we do that, we want to get together down next week in some meetings with the President and a few other people, so that we can all be on the same page. And then from there, we're going to be releasing that in the next couple weeks. So I'm very, very excited about that, a couple of key things that we're putting together regarding that. So with that, I'll yield the floor and be open for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Justice Peachey. And feel free, as we questions come here that I read out, to chip in and make any comments you'd like to. We have a caller in the queue who has asked to ask a question here. So, Larry, go ahead, sir. And I'm going to say that after you ask your question, Larry, I'm going to mute you because you have a lot of feedback in your line.
Okay, thank you. And that's because hat's on and I'm on, so I'm going to go near the room. Okay, I have a couple of comments and a question. I have noticed, in regard to what the President has said about the potential of some unrest, I have noticed in my area here in St. Louis, and we are very close to Belleville, Illinois, at Scott Air Force Base, which is the air command center for the entire world for the Air Force. And we have seen in the last week or so a lot of low-flying, large helicopters, the big Hueys, the transports. We've seen more fighter jet activity over our house. And tonight, sitting on the deck, very low huge, maybe a sea transport type military plane come over the house. And Pat and I have looked at each other for the last several days and think, what in the world's going on? I had four of those big helicopters come over the house 2 days ago, big transports. And they've been testing our warning systems several times a week in our area, and which is extremely unusual. So we were just wondering what in the world was going on there. But anyway, now there was one thing that concerned me. Somebody said that Ms. Ringchop said they're working on account codes for uniformity. And I want, as a governor, I listen to everything Tim Turner says. I mean, he may not be used to that, but I'm an executive, he's an executive, we think alike. And when he says the states better do this and the states better do that because it's coming down the road, we jump on it here in Missouri and we build it. And now I hear the nation may be a little bit behind us on some of this stuff now. And I hope that they're going to let us know pretty soon what to do. Because when the president tells me to build your treasury, set it up and get it built and get it ready, I do it. And so I need to know from nation if I need to alter it, change it, if they're going to give me something that I need to get this set up. I don't want to spend mega hours on this and then spend more mega hours because I didn't know something was coming, you know. So that's kind of concerning to me. And so that was one thing. And then I had a question for Nathan.
Well, let's just do that one first. Let's just do that one first. Mr. President, do you want to make a comment about that?
Yeah, thank you for the question. We are moving with building the treasuries now. That's what we're doing. Getting ready to operate the country as a whole. There's a lot of changes that have happened just recently in the last few weeks to open up funding to us in a lot of different areas and arenas that we didn't have before, and so we're making some adjustments to make those preparations for that. And so I can't really – I won't go into a whole lot about the funding because I can't talk about it, but I've already been told not to say anything about certain things, and I won't. But the changes are coming, and changes are good for us. They're not going to be good for everybody, but for those that are prepared, actually it's not going to be too bad of a time. I think that you need to pay attention to your news media. Actually, you're going to actually get the truth there when things start happening. The news media is going to report the truth instead of the lies that we've been told. There's going to be a lot of good education. These are some of the things that we have been pushing for a long time, and they're coming to pass. And I believe that they will come to pass very soon. All of the sources that we have around the world are saying it's coming, folks. It's happening. It's about to start breaking loose. Not everybody's going to be peaceful. You need to stay out of any kind of violent actions. Unless somebody breaks into your house, you stay peaceful and stay out of it, because you're going to be much safer that way than any other way. You know, some people are not going to do that. Some people are going to go to violence probably, and some people are going to loot and riot and things, but we're making preparations for those things for the Republic. So just trust in God, prepare what you can, and it's not going to last very long. It's going to be it's going to be a very exciting time for most of us because we're prepared. Those that didn't prepare, it's going to be a scary and very frightening time. But if you'll stay home, stay out of the business, and let the folks that are coming in to do the job do the job, they're not coming after you. They're coming after those that have been violating you for all these years. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to clean up America. And that's what I'm being told from every source that I have, from CIA, from financial investment people. They said they're telling me it's about to happen. That's all I can tell you is what I'm being told, that they're going to clean up the mess. And when the dust settles, the Republic is going to be standing. And that's, I'll say. So don't get out here with the
occupy people and start yelling and screaming and carrying on and picketing and stay home, take care of your families, stay peaceful, and just take care of your own business. Help your neighbors if you can, but stay out of the public and the craziness, because if it gets crazy, you're going to get caught up in it too. But as I can tell you, if there's any violence, it will be put down very harshly. So stay out of it. Stay home. And I'm being told it's coming very soon. So, and I'm seeing the news prepare for it. I understand I was trained by the state to do news media, and I'm seeing the preparation in the news media already being done. So just pay attention to that, folks. If when they start calling names of people that they wouldn't even talk about 5 years ago or 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, they're calling names. They're saying that they should be executed on the news. They're saying this stuff. And these things are done intentionally. And so it's mind control. They're preparing you for what's coming. But it's not going to be bad for those of us that stood up for the Republic. It's going to be bad for those that opposed us and those that tried to destroy America. So just so you'll know, you don't have to be concerned about it. Just stay out of the mess that could happen for a few days or a few weeks, and stay home and take care of your families, and you'll be just fine.
So I have a question, Larry, if you don't mind just holding for your second question. This is right down the alley of that, and it's so encouraging. When I listen to what you're saying, Mr. President, and I hear the tone of where that is, hear this. Here's a tone that comes with the next questioner who is wanting to join the Republic. He says, hello, I am concerned that if I join the Republic, my security clearance might be affected, thereby causing the loss of my job. Also, how would joining affect a military person having a security clearance? The courtesy of your response will be greatly appreciated, please. Regards, WG.
In my opinion right now, it would probably affect your security clearance in the near future. I don't think it would matter. But at this point, I would not jeopardize my job or my family or to join the Republic at this point. If I was in the military takes another oath and to the military, and you've got to fulfill that oath. But I can say this, that most of the military are going to support the Republic. They're going to support the Republic. That's their oath, and that's what they're going to do. I can foresee even at some point probably many of these people that have gone a different direction uniting again when they see what's going to happen. We're not enemies. They got different ideas, and some of them don't understand, but they're not enemies. We're all Americans, and we're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to do it a little differently, and I can foresee a time when we'll all come back together. And at least with most people. Now, some of the folks I don't want back, but many of them will, and come back into the Republic at some point when they see what's about to happen. But if I had a security clearance right now, it probably would not be a good idea to do that and jeopardize that. So stay where you're at for now. I think it's all going to change very soon anyway.
Very good. Larry, you had another question for Nathan. Please go ahead.
Well, one kind of sparked another question for the president here. Is that, do you foresee this action that's coming as shortening the parallel existence somewhat or completely, or how do you see that affecting that?
Yes, I see it shortening it dramatically.
Wow.
That's why I tell everybody you need to get things in place because, you know, we're running out of time here. In my opinion, I don't believe we have much time left. And if we're going to be a presence and we're going to be a government, it's time for us to put our differences behind us, come together as Americans and build this republic, folks. It's not hard to do. All you need is a handful of people in every state, and all you got to do is put those people in office, start training them. We can sit around and talk about this problem, that theology or that idea or that the difference of opinion, all we want to do. But we got to build a republic, and we are getting there. We're almost there, but we're not quite finished. When if this operation takes place like we're being told, what's going to happen in the states that don't have a government?
Yeah.
Because the facto is going to be taken down. They're not going to exist anymore. So that means, what about the folks out here in the 8 states that are not even trying to, I mean, they're not working. They're just ignoring it. There's 8 states that just have not complied with anything we've asked them to do. And those states are not, they're probably going to be run by a military dictatorship. They're probably going to be taken over by somebody with enough power to take over and run it. And that's what happens. We have a structure. We have an organization. We have a lawful government. And if you want to be part of that, you need to get busy. It doesn't take many people to do the basic necessary things that we have to do. But we've got to have that structure in place in order for you to be recognized when that time comes. And I believe the time is coming. I'm being told from all over the world that it's coming, and it's coming fast. I've been told as early as June or July, you may see a major, major change in this country. So that's what I'm being told. Whether it's true or not, we'll see. I can't say that it's going to happen. I can say what I'm being told is going to happen, and I'm getting it from a lot of very powerful people. And they believe it's going to happen. They're already prepared. So that's all I can tell you is what information I'm getting. And I think that it would be wise for us to get ready for it. So the states out there that don't have anybody need to start working and get this thing done. You can build the, you can prepare a state in one meeting. You can have the necessary things in place in one meeting, or maybe a weekend. It's not that difficult, folks. But you better start acting like Americans and coming together and get it done. Because probably in the states, if they have to come in and take out the de facto government in your state and you don't have something to replace it with, you're probably going to be under a military martial law type rule until you get have an election or whatever they have to do to get your appointment.
Well, there's another part of, Mr. President, isn't it also a possibility that in those states where they don't have representation that you may well have a place for those in the de facto to flee to?
Possibly. Possibly.
Okay.
And,
Robert, I tell you, I have spent a lot of time, and I would make a suggestion here. I've spent a lot of time on my knees asking the Lord to bring the right people, and he is.
Amen.
And, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, I guess, if you're not of that persuasion. But I'm really dependent on the Lord to do this. I'm not smart enough to do it, but I feel the Lord's strength and guidance, and he's bringing the right people, and we're getting it done. And for that person with security clearance, and maybe a good option for him would be to get his paperwork filled out, get his red thumbprint on it, and hold his paperwork in his possession until such time it's
an option.
I think he should have his own papers in his possession anyway. I think the state should only have copies of them. You should have your own paperwork.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, my question for Nathan Peachy was, again, does he have any idea on the timing for training for judges? As the governor here in Missouri, I'm a little bit concerned. Our courts are pretty far behind the other branches, and we'd like to get some help on that. And I wonder if you had an update on that.
Yes, I'm concerned too that we're behind. In fact, I know we're behind, and I don't like it. But the judiciary structure is there in place. Okay, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. So what we're doing right now is we're actually training the Judiciary Committee and getting them up to speed on the structure of our judiciary and the other folks. So we are, I mean, training is being done, and people are researching the judiciary. And there's going to be coming a time, very shortly, probably as soon as we're finished with the meetings that we've scheduled the next week and the following week, that we're going to be calling on the judges and having them participate in cases and in removing cases from the de facto into our district courts. What we don't want to have happen is there's still a couple things that we're missing that we're looking for, and we think that we may have found them if we just put them together. But we don't want to put our foot in the door and have it slam shut and hurt our foot or something like that, okay? So we have to be careful how we approach the de facto when attempting to remove cases. The time may not quite be here yet, but it may be shortly, all right? So I appreciate your concern, Mark, and I'd also like to make a comment on you made mention about what's happening and about some of the activity that you've been seeing in the air. I was told yesterday, and some of you may be aware of it, that over in Japan, I think they closed down 51, if the number is right, of the nuclear power plants where they generate electricity. Because they said that another earthquake could cause enough damage to wipe off the entire life from the planet. So they're shutting down the nuclear power plants. They shut an entire mess of them down at a certain area. And what that is doing is it's creating darkness. And so they're probably getting ready for a lot of mass unrest. So those are some of the things that are happening in the world today. So not going to affect us necessarily. It's going to create turmoil and chaos for some people. And also, if you are on welfare, think about being able to generate another means to survive, because that's going to get shut off. So those are some of the things that we're going to be faced with, is the possibility of mass events and then welfare layoff. Pension funds are going to get dried up. So if you think through those things, and how we can survive as a republic without those, and in the face of the chaos that's going to happen without those, I think those are some of the concerns we need to be careful, diligent in.
And I'd just like to add on the back of that, Nathan, that God tells his people, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. He says, fear
right.
not. He says, fear not. And if your relationship with your Creator is strong and you're in a right place there and you're taking prudent steps to do as the President suggests and have provisions set aside for a period of transition, whatever happens, you know, 10,000 will fall to the right, 10,000 will fall to the left. And if you are supposed to be here and part of participating in what is opening up for the future, then you will be. And no amount of panic is going to unsettle you. But that strong relationship with your Creator is really a fundamental key. So not that this is an altar call, but I just want to encourage you that's a reality. We are in that time where the seasons are changing. And it's so exciting to hear what the President's saying to my heart, because we've put in place, this Republic is putting in place the structure, and God will breathe life into it. As he ordains, and it's clear that we have been exercising our muscles to be able to pick up the pieces, and whether there is enough clarity amongst us, and whether there's enough on a national level, there's enough cohesion for people to get it, that's really in his hands. We just have to do our part and stay strong, stay true, and not be moved by fear. It's just reports. Nathan, I have, if I can, a question that is in your area here from a writer. Bob, his name is. Are there two constitutions in existence, the original one and a different one for the de facto government? What are the differences?
No, I don't believe that's true at all. I know there's people that are propagating that, but I just can't lay any physical substance that to be true.
His follow-up question is, what's required to join the de jure government, and what happens to one's status as a, in quote, citizen in the de facto government? How does one function if you lose that status?
Well, that's a difficult question. That brings up, I might try to answer that, Robert, with another subject I was going to get into a little bit. The question had been raised about the judiciary and training the judges. We are setting in motion a complete process that will take the involvement of all the judges, the state judges and justices of the peace, and national judges, all across the republic. In other words, rather than trying to train them through conference calls, there's going to be work that is going to have to be done. Okay, and part of that is going to be in the new citizenship paper that is being created by Congress and the judiciary. So the judges will be very much involved very, very shortly in helping to build the republic and in scribing the citizenship documents. And it's going to start bringing in a little bit of a cash flow for the court system, both state and national. So it's going to be an excellent training opportunity, or an excellent opportunity for people to start learning how to handle $15 and $20. You know, we don't have to wait until we get millions of dollars. We can start learning how to account for $5 and $10 in fees as the people, you know, start joining the republic and using the services of the judiciary that we're putting together. So we'll be releasing that very, very shortly, and it's going to activate the whole entire judiciary, as well as has something to do with the citizenship too. So how do I operate as a citizen in the republic and not in the de facto? It's going to be very interesting. We have one case where the de facto wants the person to resign their citizenship in the republic because they don't like the fact that he is acknowledging to be a citizen in the republic, which tells us that they recognize us. They recognize us as a body politic to be recognized with, and they don't like it. So we're going to have to deal with that. In fact, I'll be dealing with it tomorrow. I just got a call from the FBI this afternoon, and so I'm going to go up there and visit with them. They want to chat with me as well, and we're going to work out some of these issues, hopefully, to learn how to do that. So we don't have all the answers yet, but they're coming together.
He has another question, and before he gives his closer, and it's, is there a way to call grand juries, and if so, for what purposes?
Yes, absolutely. There's a way to call grand juries. In fact, we will be doing that as well with activating the judiciary. In fact, we're going to be calling on all of them the next 2-3 weeks. Hopefully they exist in all the states. I think they do. I think there's grand jury foreman there. And what we want to do is when we start dealing with these cases, part of the process that we're going to be using is to use the grand juries in the states when dealing with de facto issues. And the way they're going to be used is they're going to be used in notifying and contacting the plaintiffs. You know, up until this point, a lot of us have been attacking the courts and the judges. And you run into a lot of trouble when you do that. Lots of problems. It never works out. So we're starting on a process where we're going to be using the grand juries, and we're going to be starting to work directly with the plaintiffs that are creating the problems for you. And so that means, let's say somebody has an IRS case or a criminal IRS case. We would need a grand jury action, and I'm laying that out, and we're going to be working on that the next couple weeks. And have a quorum of the states, with each grand jury, that are going to be participating. So, yes, get ready to get active in the republic, because very, very shortly we're going to get active in the grand juries, and in the with the judiciary.
Well, his last question is the closer, and he says, "What's required to join?" So I don't know what state I don't know what state he comes from, but
okay. Yeah, I guess he needs to contact his governor, right?
He needs to contact his governor or go on to the national website and look at who the contact person is for his state, and then ask them for the necessary paperwork to read over it and come on board. So I'm answering him in his email with a to listen to this call and listen to your answers in depth if he's not already on it. So thank you very much. Our next caller in the queue is Gus Gustafson in Flagstaff. Gus, we're having a really hard time hearing you, so you're going to have to either speak straight in or that's better.
Is this better?
That's much better.
Okay. I have a question. I've been really interested in the Friday night calls, the justice calls, and they just haven't been going on. And are you going to resume these, or is that passé? And if you are going to resume them, it really needs to be consistent, because I always refer people to these Friday night calls. I find the justice call extremely educational, especially for common law, and would like to have some consistency. In other words, if it's
Gus, you're fading out again, my friend.
Okay, if you're going to have the calls, they need to be consistent with substitute moderators who will come on if the current moderator can't make it that night. Did you get my question?
Chief Justice Peachy, did you hear his question?
No, I did not hear the question. He was going in and out.
Oh, sorry about that.
So, Gus, can you, like, hold whatever you seem to have some problem there. Hold it straight to your mouth and keep it there if you can.
Receiver.
All right.
Can you hear me better?
No.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay. Is this any better?
Go ahead.
Yes, this is clear.
Okay. I'm very... are you going to resume the Friday night justice calls, or is that gone the wayside?
You mean the justice calls?
Yeah, Friday night.
Yeah, I believe we are.
Are you going
yes.
Well,
what we have been
working
on is we've been working on the website, and I told them that when the website is ready with all the information about the justices and the grand jury foreman, that we have a means to start communicating with them, that's when we're going to be resuming the phone calls again. Now, I don't know where they're at with that yet.
Well, may I make a suggestion? If
yes,
you're going
absolutely.
To have calls, they need to be consistent, and you need to have substitute moderators who are going to come on, pretty much like last week we had Jim Fitzgerald come in for Robert. And without consistency, it just doesn't compute, because I found that the justice calls were extremely educational, informative, and I learned an awful lot from them. But you never knew when it was going to be on, if it was going to be on. And I've always, whenever I get a chance to. Lead people to that call, like all the other calls. So, again, if it gets resumed, please make it consistent.
Yes, it will be resumed, but we're waiting for a couple of things before we're going to start them up again, but we will resume them again. They will be more of a we're working with the website where we can use it as a module, and all the justices will have access to it. And so the way they can use it is we're going to have training material on there for actual cases, then we're going to actually have a hands-on live training with actual cases. And in order to do that, we need a website module a secure module so that you can all go in and pull off the data. That's what we're waiting on, okay?
Okay.
That's what we're waiting on.
Okay, I yield.
You bet.
Very good. We have another question here. Janine, do you want to ask the question that you have there? Hello, Janine. Did we lose you? All right, I will ask it. Who?
I'm sorry, Robert. Would you? I muted myself. If Patricia is on the line, it actually comes from Patricia.
I saw her fall out of the queue.
Okay. Then go ahead, Robert, then.
President Turner, what is your viewpoint on states having elections prior to the recognition? We need state reps in place and have only 200 people in their particular state. Do we have the right to somehow put people into state Congress / Senate? Is the question clear to you, sir?
They want to know if they can have elections. I thought they already had.
No, they wanted to know, what's your point of view on states having elections prior to the recognition?
Well, they already have had elections, most of them.
I believe, if you don't mind, what she's getting at is having elections for separate state representatives and senators. The ones that they have now would essentially be for nation and then voting on the state.
Oh, you're talking about separating the two?
Yes.
Well, certainly they can do that. They have the authority to do that now, but as long as they understand their interim positions, and as soon as we have the people, the majority of the people, and have a national election, then they'll go to permanent. But we can't go permanent until that point. We have to have representation of the people of the nation to do that.
So I had thought, Mr. President, that we were looking at whether it is good sense to have national senators and representatives and state senators senators and representatives, and whether that isn't a deviation from what the founders had intended.
Well, what I found is that many of the states want to have both, and they certainly can. I would prefer to have one for both. Because if you go back to real law, you don't have as much time in Congress and legislated laws and all the foolishness that they do today. It's going to be pretty straightforward and pretty simple. In my opinion, I don't think we need but one, but many of the state constitutions require you to have Congress people in the states as well as national. I would love to see the states change that, where the same people do both jobs, because I believe that it would be much better for the nation if we did it that way. But that's up to the states. They can do, if it's in their constitution, they'd have to amend that, and we can't amend it until we have a majority of the people.
Very good. Well, we are at the. We've been on the call for. Boy, we got something. Hello. We've been on the call for 2 hours and 20 minutes. So I have one. Well, the last one is a prayer here. So this is what this says. Members of the Republic for the United States of America, I've been a member of the Republic since February of this year. I have attended local meetings and find the information very important. All of the YouTube videos with President Turner are all also useful information. Each of these always start with opening prayer. I have been looking at this aspect and cannot help but see that this might be going against the First Amendment of the Constitution. I understand that all religions are to be allowed in the Republic, but having prayer seems to guide people into Christianity. The other issue is participating in prayer with people who are not of the same faith. This is unbiblical. I suggest that the meeting could be a few moments of private time for meditation and prayer individually. I have a link below that gives passages and input on this issue. I pulled it off the web just to give some backing to my concern. I am supportive of the Republic, but have concerns with the direction of prayer, etc., with respect to being God-pleasing. I am afraid this will keep some good people from joining the Republic. Thank you for your help on this matter. God's blessing. Does anyone besides myself want to comment on this?
Well, I certainly, I agree that we need more prayer. I don't think that that's my position on that, but the person that wrote that never has every right to feel that way and do that. And in my opinion, if we try to limit God or take God out of this republic, you won't have a republic. You'll be in total abject slavery and with no future. And that's my opinion, and I'll leave it at that.
I think I would add to that two things. One is that if you go back into our history and you go back into our founders and back into how Congress was convened, they would spend hours upon hours in Bible study and in prayer prior to convening to deliberate law. Our current 21st century politically correct discourse has very, thanks to the de facto, has very systematically eliminated all reference to God and all reverence to his integral part in the affairs of men, has eliminated it. And now, of course, with technology, we do have the public forum where people are able to listen to the calls and be involved in the calls who may not be of the Christian faith, who may be of any other number of faiths. The point is, America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, period. It wasn't founded on Islam. It wasn't founded on Buddhism. It wasn't founded on Hinduism, although the Buddha, the Buddhist, the Hindu, and the Islam are all welcome to pursue their perception of God within the framework of the Republic. But as far as driving the bus of what the Republic is and what our nation is, we are a Judeo-Christian country. And I, for one, am unapologetic to stand up for that. Chief Justice Peachey, did you want to comment on that at all?
Well, I don't have a lot to say about that. I think it's a subject that we need to take in deep prayer before we could give a good answer.
Very good. Let's leave the subject there then. David Yuska, you are our final question in the queue. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you. Brother Tim, what is your intention in regards to the three-day fast? What is your intention in doing so we might be in knowledge of detail and be in some similarity and intensity?
I will be reaching out to some very, very important people around the world during that time and to bring recognition to the Republic in a mighty and a great way. And I want God to allow us to find favor with those people and allow us to be catapulted forward as the nation that we truly are. And that's what I want the fast to be about. It's time for the Republic to be recognized internationally, and that's what we need God to do during that time. That's what the focus of the prayer and the fasting is to be about, is to bring us into our proper place.
Well, exactly what is it that you're intending to do personally, I guess?
I will be on a full fast and prayer for at least 3 days.
By way of a full fast, you're talking about I imagine the water, but no food?
No food, only water. That's all I drink when I drink water when I fast, and that's all.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. President, would you do us the honor of closing us in a word of prayer this evening?
I'd be honored. Holy God, I thank you for the leadership. Thank you for your guidance. I thank you for your mighty hand that has been upon the people that have stood up
to restore your righteous government in this nation. God, it's been a difficult battle for us, but if we look back in time, the price that we've paid has been very insignificant compared to what our forefathers paid and the difficulties that they had. Our path has been made easy because of the difficulties and the arduous task that they undertook over 200 years ago. I pray, God, that you'll be with our people across this nation. There may be some difficult times coming, God, but we know that this republic has been created as an ark of safety for your people. I pray that you'll open their eyes and open their minds, open their hearts, let them see the truth, God, that you've shown many of the leaders in this republic already that this republic is the answer to America's problem. Only because that we will reverence you, and only because that we will install God back into our society once again. That's the reason that it is the answer. It's because, God, you are the answer for the problems of America. I pray that you'll move upon the hearts of the people, open their eyes, open their hearts, give them the desire, God, to seek after you. But, God, if we seek after you, you will draw near unto us and help us to do this impossible task that we've undertaken. But, God, all things are possible with your intervention. I know this is your will, without a doubt, to establish this republic. I feel very urgently in my spirit, God, that it is time for the republic to step up. I pray that your people will step up and help us to finish the details and the documentation that we need, we desperately need in place. And I pray, God, that your hand will be upon us. And every step, God, you'll protect and guide us, and you'll help us to do the task that you've given us to do. Give us the wisdom to write the documents the way that you want them written. Give us the ability, God, to deliver them in the right hands that you want to have them. And I pray, God, that you'll move upon this nation and bring us back to what we are supposed to be in your eyes. And let us give reverence to the creator of all this universe, as we were created to do as a people, and bring your blessings back upon this nation once again, God, and let us be restored to a righteous governance in this country that will bless the people and prosper the people all across this great land in every conceivable way. And God, will give your name the praise. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Mr. President. Thank you to all our guests. Thank you for all of those who you stayed with the call. Be blessed. It's an exciting time to be in. It's a time to be in prayer, a time to be celebrating, and a time to look forward expectantly to the pieces that we're putting into place and those that are coming our way in the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands, and I believe the millions. Good night, all. God willing, we'll see you next week. And Janine, what have you got for us to close out in song?
Let's go with God Bless America. Thank you.
All right. Good night, all.
To the bread.